Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, folks. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. I will be here for the rest of the week. I'm joined in studio by Tim Wildman. We've got Dr. Ray Pritchard sitting in the bullpen. He is in Kansas City. I'm going to come right back to you, Ray. Chris Woodward is here with us. Good morning slash good afternoon to you, Chris. Okay, I can't hear you.
Hello.
Okay,
hello.
Now good we day. Got you. All right. Hey, Ray Pritchard, Dr. Ray Pritchard, tell our folks where they can find a good Bible reading going on.
Well, it's not too hard. Surf on over to keepbelieving.com, keepbelieving.com. We have been reading through the Bible, started in January. Here we are in June, and today we are in the wonderful book of 1 Chronicles. In fact, today I was reading 1 Chronicles 7, 8, and 9. And you know, 1 Chronicles, it begins with 9 chapters of genealogy, one name after another. And we wrap that up. We wrap up the genealogy part today. So if you want to find out about the sons of Issachar or the sons of Tola, or if you want to find out about a guy named Uzi or Jabmai or Ibsam or Jeriel or Raphiah, I'm your man.
Let me tell
this
you,
is the place.
Your pronunciation of Meher Shehalishbaz brought me to tears.
And I'm not. And that one's still ahead of us, coming up in the book of Isaiah. So.
Yeah, that was my testing you to see if you knew where that was.
And your pronunciation, Chris, brought me to tears.
I practiced it 3 times after Googling hard-to-pronounce names in the Old Testament.
All right, so Ray, give the website again where folks can go check it out.
It's keepbelieving.com, and we're putting up a brand new video every morning, 7 a.m. Central Time. Join us. We're reading through the Bible this year from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year.
And folks, if you hadn't started now, you can start right this minute. Okay, go back and check out all the previous readings Ray has are also up there, right, Ray?
That's right.
Okay. All right, folks, just a note, okay? Now, I love our listeners. I really do. And I love most of you on our Facebook page. I'm just kidding. I love all of you. Love all of you who listen to American Family Radio and this program, okay? But I got to tell you, sometimes we get a little focused, narrowly focused on things that really don't matter a whole lot. And there seems to be some dispute on our Facebook page about what to call the party that's not Republican, okay? Now, some folks are saying it's Democratic Party. Stop calling it Democratic Party. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not sure what the answer is. I'm looking at the Democratic National Committee. They say Democratic Party. Democrats.org, we are the Democratic Party. I think technically it may be Democrat Party, but everybody calls it the Democratic Party. So how about we just all agree on this fact that our country is in serious trouble and not focus on what to call the party in blue? How's that? Am I being sensitive about it? I just don't know the answer. Okay. I had Chris looking this up during the break. He says, I can't find any proof one way or the other. The Democrats call themselves Democratic Party.
Mm. Yeah.
But technically it may be Democrat Party, but
spend 10 minutes on a search engine and you will find 9 different answers.
Yeah. So anyway, let's just treat it like the rapture, folks. There are different views. And so
I don't know about you. I'm going up.
Oh, hey, listen.
Yeah. That's right.
I do know that.
He's coming and I'm going.
That's
I'm
right.
good
That's
with
right.
whenever.
That's right.
All right, Fred, let's get back at the news. Oh, Chris,
speaking of coming and going, one of the things that our government has been doing with our tax dollars, going back about 3 years now to the Trump administration, the government started throwing out some money out there to try to help people that were suffering from the COVID-19 pandemic, people that maybe were in a bind, maybe they had to shut their store down for a little while,
yeah.
Maybe people lost their job, stuff like that. So now we're in the season of life where news outlets and government agencies start doing reports on the amount of money that was wasted, stolen, abused, what have you. And on our website, which is AFN.net, we have an Associated Press story that Fred posted that finds, unfortunately, about $400 billion was either stolen, wasted, or misspent in the last couple of years. And this is all COVID-19 relief money here. Combined, the loss, guys, represents a jarring 10% of the $4.2 trillion the U.S. government has so far dispersed in COVID relief aid. As if as uncomfortable as that is to discuss, I've got some audio from an expert here. It's Matt Weidinger of American Enterprise Institute. He was on Fox and Friends earlier today saying this $400 million is probably going to be a drop in the bucket once all things are said and done. Clip 10.
Your viewers are probably used to this by now, where in the most recent instance, the AP came up with this story right. That found something around $400 billion in misspending. But there have been repeated reports from inspectors general, the Government Accountability Office, and other experts that have found along the way, as more and more of this these losses are uncovered, a spectacular report comes out with a very large number. These numbers keep getting bigger. So the $400 billion that was found by the AP is still likely a conservative number compared to what we're going to find in the coming months and years.
All right, Fred, this is going to wind up probably being over $500 billion.
Yeah.
Dollars. $500 billion.
Yep.
Now, I don't fault, obviously, either the Trump administration or the Biden administration for trying to help Americans keep things together, because the lockdowns, and we discussed the error, the potential errors in judgment that went on during the basically the 2 years of 2020 and 2021. We kind of talked about that in the previous segment, but it is true that that nobody really knew exactly what was going on and how it would end. So I don't fault the federal government from trying to help people out. However, to me, this seems to be proof that when you're tossing money around like the federal government frequently does, it's going to get stolen. It's going to be wasted on a fantastical scale. And this is further proof we're talking $500 billion. There are countries all over the world that don't see that kind of money over a 10-year period.
No.
In their economies.
And I mean, we've heard the horror stories over the last year or so. I mean, prisoners creating companies.
Right.
And getting money. People just, you know, there are bad actors out there. The normal gateways to getting federal money were basically torn apart.
Right.
And it was, if you apply, you're going to get the money. That's what it came down to. I mean, we're talking, we now know there are gangs in China. They got COVID relief money
right.
from the United States.
And Russia.
And Russia. This is how loosey-goosey it was, but this is American taxpayers' dollars. This is contributing to where we are debt-wise right now. And hopefully, there is so much to learn from what happened over the last 3 years. And I would hope that they would, yes, we want to help these small businesses that were forced to shut down, and so employees weren't getting paychecks. I understand that. That was a good thing to do.
It was a scary time.
But at the same time, let's take at least 2 or 3 weeks to investigate each application to make sure that there is a company A in, you know, Long Beach, California that has 20 employees.
Right.
How difficult would it be to make a phone call?
Yeah.
And say, you know, is there... You know, triple A, whatever.
They got to have a tax number, too.
They got to have a tax number. Is the triple A, does it have a building on your street? Mm-hmm. And does it have about 25 employees? Yes, it does. Okay, that's good.
Right.
But when you had applicants who lived in a house somewhere and they just created a company and they applied and they got hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's crazy. I mean, all of this has been going on. So just even at a time of pandemic, I don't think we'll ever see anything like this again because I don't think the American people are going to put up with it.
Well, Ray, I don't want to overdo this in discussing it. We talked about how there was a lot of uncertainty as to what was going on and the federal government had to do something. I will say this, though. This is what our founding fathers feared, all right? This is why they created a republic with separation of powers. So you have state, local, federal, but the majority of the business of the people was not supposed to be done out of D.C. Mm-hmm. And when you suck up all the money and tax money that the federal government does and start tossing it around, it's not just waste, it's not just fraud, it is the corruption that you have with lobbyists and all these kinds of things. The founding fathers, in looking at history, saw how republics and direct democracies failed, and they tried to correct those failed policies and give us something that would at least give us a fighting chance, and we just seem to be ignoring the lessons of history.
Oh, come on, Ed. It's only $400 billion. I mean, we're not. It's not like we're talking real money here.
Right.
I mean, they were giving away money like it was Halloween candy. You know, here's a bag. We got a few billion dollars, and just reach down in here and grab whatever you need. And Fred, no matter what we say, it really was like that. Mm-hmm. It was, particularly in the early months, hey, you've got an address, you've got a post office box, you need a few million here, you need a few million there. I am not surprised that it's $400 billion because, you know, anytime you've got a pandemic, okay, anytime you've got a worldwide emergency and you've got all this money sitting over here, there are lots of bad actors out there, Fred, exactly what you said. They're going to reach their hands in the bag and they're going to grab whatever they could find. I'm not surprised it's $400 billion, and I think, guys, it's going to be much higher than that when the final accounting comes in.
I think mm-hmm. my personal prediction is it'll reach $1 trillion.
Yeah. You know, this came out in waves, and I kind of understand, you know, Trump was president at the time. There was panic in this country.
Right.
There was panic. You know, Dr. Fauci was calling the shots.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The president had kind of turned things over to the so-called expert. And whatever that expert said we needed to do, that's what happened.
Right.
But there, I think what's inexcusable, there was another wave of COVID relief money that went out under Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in that package, there was money for climate change stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, there is no excuse on that.
Right.
That should never have happened. But he threw everything but the kitchen sink into that package. And that was let go.
Same thing with the quote-unquote Inflation Reduction Act.
Yes.
It's just the way to hide billions and billions and trillions of dollars for your pet projects. And one day we may go bust for it. We'll hopefully not, but I don't know how we're going to claw our way out of this. But anyway, all right.
In other news, happening right now in Boston, in a federal courtroom in Boston, there's a seventh grader by the name of Liam Morrison, and he's been in the news for a few weeks now because this spring, Liam decided to wear a T-shirt to school one day that said, "There are two genders." Liam attends a middle school in Middleborough, Massachusetts, and his public middle school said, "You can't wear that T-shirt. We don't agree with that message." So he decides to come back at a later date wearing a T-shirt saying, "There are censored genders." And the school district frowned on that message as well. So Liam has lawyered up with Alliance Defending Freedom, and they are in federal court today arguing that he should be allowed to wear these T-shirts with these messages because that is his viewpoint, and the school is committing what ADF calls viewpoint discrimination. And they're trying to get a decision in favor of Liam before June 26th because that is the last day of school, and they're trying to get Liam the right to wear these messages before school lets out for summer. I've got some audio here from one of Liam's attorneys. His name is Logan Spina, and he spoke to us at AFN about this very case and why the school is pushing its own viewpoint but frowning on Liam's. Clip 11.
The school itself, of course, has pride flags in the hallways. It's got posters supporting transgender identification, and it encourages students to wear gear to celebrate pride and things like that. You could clearly wear a shirt that says there are infinite genders or the like. And so that's what's going on here. The school is promoting that kind of expression from the students, but prohibiting Liam from speaking on the exact same topic, but just from offering a different perspective.
Now, I will say in our frequent stories, our numerous stories on this, I've reached out to both the school district as well as the town of Middleboro because ADF is suing them as well in this case. The school district did not respond, and the town sent me a no comment. So we have reached out to them, and perhaps they will decide to comment should we get a decision on this at some point before June 26th.
Well, Fred and Ray, Fred, we'll start with you. This seems like a no-brainer. This seems clearly unconstitutional, and I think the reason why Middleboro doesn't want to make a comment is because they're probably being told by their lawyers, you blew this. I think this is a winner for this kid, and it should be.
Yes, and to our listeners, don't take this lightly because I think there's a much broader agenda that's coming over the horizon on us right now, and that is a point of view. Certain points of view are starting to be treated as illegal.
Yeah.
All right? I think we would have seen the same type of story if there was a young female student at a school that said, I'm pro-life. Or abortion kills a baby.
Right.
All right. So points of view, I think what the left wants to do, they want to codify it into law as hate speech. We're just seeing more and more. We're seeing the word hate being used. We're seeing the word, you know, domestic terrorism being used. Mm-hmm. Not because people plant bombs somewhere.
Right.
But because they disagree with a school board.
Right.
We're going to refer to parents as domestic terrorists. We need to be very vigilant about this because we've seen it in China. If you have a point of view that disagrees with the government, we're going to put you in jail.
Yeah.
Or we're going to take your kids away from you. Some people may, you're exaggerating. You're just out there, conspiracy theory guy. No, this is happening. They want to punish your point of view. I keep going back to the example of what happened with the trucker dispute in Canada.
Yeah.
The Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, said, you have a point of view that is not acceptable. You have an unacceptable point of view. Therefore, we're going to bring the law after you.
Mm-hmm. Froze their bank accounts.
Froze their bank accounts. So don't dismiss this, folks. These cases may be just a kid there in Massachusetts mm-hmm. with a T-shirt, but it represents a much larger draconian really agenda, a political agenda of the left.
Yeah. One of the things that I often do when I call ADF or First Liberty, Pacific Justice Institute, what have you, I will generally ask the attorney, hey, let's imagine somebody driving along. They don't have kids in school. Maybe they live in a different part of the state or they live in some other state. Why should they care about and pay attention to this case? And oftentimes you get the, you need to care about this because if they'll come after a seventh grader, they'll come after you, that kind of thing. It's those viewpoints, if you will, that really kind of drive home the point of these stories, and I'm glad to be able to help cover them.
Well, Ray, it seems clear to me that if people, and I don't even know if this young man is a Christian. I don't know what his religious background is. But it seems clear to me that Christians or other conservatives have to do with this show. What's his name again?
Liam Morrison.
Liam Morrison. They have to stand up for what they believe because constitutional protections As former President Ronald Reagan said, liberty is one generation away from disappearing. Mm. So if people do not stand up, and I totally agree with what Fred's saying, if people do not stand up in these kinds of battles, they will just be swept away by the tyranny of this quote-unquote progressive movement.
You know, every day in the cultural crisis in which we find ourselves, we each one of us, all of our listeners, we all got to decide, are we going to choose courage or are we going to choose comfort? And the comfortable way for a high school student is to dress like everybody else and talk like everybody right. else and act like everybody else. The courageous way is to put on the T-shirt that says there are two genders. That's fantastic. We could use a whole generation of young men and young women and moms and dads and grandparents who will stand up and speak out. It's one of the things, one of the reasons AFR is here is not just to bring you the stories, mm-hmm. but to encourage you as our listeners to choose courage over comfort on a daily basis. God bless this young man. We could use a whole army just like him.
Yeah, this Lee Morrison, he's in seventh grade. This wow. kid's like Captain America, all right? I mean, he is standing up against an entire school, and certainly those who are in authority. I guarantee there are teachers who support this kid but are afraid to say anything.
Oh, sure.
Because they'll lose their sure. job. Mm-hmm. So, all right, next story, Chris.
Well, this is all the more reason to stay in touch with Ray and his website as he does his Bible reading, and to also be reading your Bible yourself. I say that because the American Bible Society has for several years now done what they're calling an annual State of the Bible Report, and I've shared a link for this on our Facebook page. And some of this may come as no surprise to some of our listeners, but the American Bible Society is out, and they're saying that Bible-engaged Christians are happier and have greater life purpose because they are constantly or making a point to be in God's Word. I know it sounds like a no-brainer, and maybe I'm preaching to the choir, but oftentimes when you get sermons or something on, you know, prayer tips and things like that, there's always that one that's like, just pray, you know, because we don't do it enough.
Right.
And I can tell you from my own experience, I've been in news now here for almost 13 years. October will be 21 years that I've been in broadcasting. It's more than half my life. And I'll tell you right now, being in the Word of God or making some point in the day for that has really helped me get through a lot of stressful and frustrating things in the news cycle. I can't stress to our listeners enough how much or how important it is to actually make a point to study God's Word, because it will help you get through a lot of difficult things.
Well, Fred, I'm going to just paraphrase an old expression I heard a long time ago. I have no idea who said it. So this is a little bit of a paraphrase. And this is a little bit of hyperbole here, okay? But I think people will understand what is being said. And that is that people who read their Bible don't sin, and sinning people don't read their Bible. I think sometimes it's been used with regards to prayer as well, but there is something to that. Again, you can still read your Bible and sin, don't get me wrong, but if you're in the Word and you're studying, you're hiding the Word of God in your heart so that I will not sin against you, the Scripture says, then you're going to be strengthened for that fight. If you are sinning, you're going to hesitate to get into the Word because it brings conviction.
Yeah, you know, just an illustration often, I need images. I'm that type of guy. Mm-hmm. We are made in the image of God. And I like to picture it like a puzzle. We have a piece of a puzzle inside of us. We'll call it, you know, it's the soul.
Yeah.
And so that there's nothing else that can replace that other piece that God can give us to match that puzzle piece inside us. We have to have it. Mankind, for the most part, the majority of mankind, you know, Matthew 7 mentions this 13, 14, wide road, narrow road. Mankind in general is trying to find some other piece to match that only God can match.
Right.
And when we surrender to the authority of Scripture, when we surrender to God and we accept His free gift of salvation, we become His child.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, those pieces match. That's why the Bible Society says you're happier because you've surrendered to the one who's created you.
Right.
And it's kind of like, you know, you don't use a manual for a tractor for trying to repair your refrigerator.
Right.
You know.
Unless you're me.
We are made. We are made. God wants us in a relationship with Him. And until we open that door, he's standing at the door and knocking. And until we answer that knock, we're not going to be happy. We're not going to be content. I like the word content more than happy, because contentment gets you through the difficulties of life.
Thank you, Fred. And we're going to leave it with that, folks. That's good preaching from an excellent Bible teacher, by the way. Teaches Sunday school, or has in the past, Fred Jackson. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it, brother.
You bet. Thank you, Ed.
KeepBelieving.com, folks. Go and read your Bible along with Dr. Ray Pritchard. Want to thanks to you, Chris.
Thank you.
Also to Dr. Frank Turek and Jenna Ellis. And don't forget, more great programming is directly ahead on the American Family Radio Network. Bye for now. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow.